Hi, welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We're always interested in your thoughts. Drop us a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com with your suggestions and comments. Let us know what's going on where you are. Just a few community notes. Indiana Public Radio and WIPB will again be serving as a drop-off point for the Thanksgiving food drive organized by Feed My Sheep until November 24th. The IPR site is the only drop-off location on the Ball State campus. Our Matt Bloom says, please consider supporting this effort with non-perishable food donations. The student council at Daleville Junior Senior High School is planning a Veterans Day program for our veterans on Tuesday, November 11th at 1 p.m. Veterans and their families are invited to the gym for a celebration, which includes a reception in the cafeteria. Pat Keough is the high school contact for more information. And Unity Church of Anderson is holding a chili cook-off to benefit the Fire Rescue House of Madison County. This is at 2425 Mounds Road on Saturday, November 1st from 11 to 4. Besides the chili, they're setting up a crafts fair with holiday gift ideas. Well, the old saying is you cannot beat City Hall, but in Muncie, at least, you can talk to it. Or actually, go and talk directly to the mayor. Dennis Tyler, on the second Tuesday of every month, holds his 5 minutes with the mayor chats with everyday people. You're supposed to call the office and make a reservation. It's called 5 minutes, but on a slow night, you might get 15 or more. On the night we went, about 10 people had signed up, a few did not show, so Tyler spent some extra time with those who came. And they kind of ran the gamut. One family came to talk about a crime problem. Another was a man in a dispute with a member of his family. One person was a cat hoarder, an older woman who had come to complain that city authorities had removed 24 of her cats. In truth, officials found that the animals were in bad shape and had created an unsafe environment in the home. We were waiting outside the mayor's conference room while he met with the woman, but through the door, we could hear her yelling at him. When he welcomed us in a little while later, we could see this had been a long meeting on top of an already long day as the city's chief executive.
When you're at conferences and mm-hmm. with other mayors, mm-hmm. and you tell people
mm-hmm. yeah.
you do this,
yeah.
you must get some I mean...
I get some funny looks. Are you crazy? Yeah, I do, but I tell them, you know, if they're serious about it, try it. And if it don't work, then quit it. But try it, and you'll probably be surprised, you know. And some nights you're going to have rough nights, like this evening.
Definitely.
You know, some nights you'll have rough nights. You'll have some really challenging issues that you have to deal with. But others, many times, are not that challenging. They're pretty easy fixes and that. But I think at the end of the day, again, what has people so upset with Washington, or what has people so upset with our Indianapolis General Assembly and with local officials is they feel like they're kind of on an island and they're untouchable and they're not very willing to communicate with you. So in Muncie it works. Now would it work everywhere? I don't know. I believe it would. That's what I tell them when they look at me cross-eyed and like I'm silly is try it and see how it works and maybe you can do it in another way.
I have to think it's got to be very tough to be a mayor right now with mm-hmm. property tax caps and
it
other
is.
Issues. It really limit what you can do.
It does. It limits our resources. But what we've tried to do is be very diligent, at least in my first 3 years. And, you know, all of our economic development projects that we have going on right now, if everything works well, they will have no tax impact whatsoever. We think that all of those projects are going to bring in enough property taxes and enough resources and revenues, and we're trying to do that in the right way and then have some funds set aside that we can invest and reinvest in our infrastructure and grow it. As, you know, if you listen to Michael Hicks, some things Michael talks about, I agree with, some I don't agree with, but some of the things that he talks about that I really agree with that he say are so important to
creating a sense of place.
Creating a sense of place and a quality of life and sustainability. And how you do that is you have a strong public school system, you have a strong public safety network, and then you work on those quality of place things and infrastructure. And all of those takes resources to do that. And we've tried to do that. We partner with our schools. We partner with our public safety services to give them, you know, what they need. And I think it's working. You know, in 2012, I couldn't get a Dick's to look at Muncie. And now here we are, we have a new Dick's Sporting Goods store. The hotel that will be opening in October of next year, 150-room courtyard at the Marriott, downtown Muncie, with a training center for people with disabilities, unlike anything else in the United States. Those types of projects and projects for creating more accessibility for people with ADA issues, or just more accessibility for everybody, feeling more welcome and having a more diverse community, I think is going to set us apart from other second-class cities, not just in East Central Indiana, but throughout the Midwest, and I like that idea.
You're dealing with problems that in other cities the mayor would delegate to.
Sure.
To other folks.
Sure. I had an issue, and I won't bring up the family or anything, but they came in, and it was parents and grandparents and some children, and they were talking about part of their family that had children, and there was issues with drugs. And they were, the grandparents and that were extremely concerned about their grandchildren that were with them, because they were afraid that they were going to take off with their grandchildren and they would lose them, and particularly with the drug issues. And they were all sitting right along there, and I never will forget it. I got on the cell phone and I reached out to one of my officers that was off duty, was at a ball game watching his children, and he stepped outside to take my phone call. And I give him the names, and I give him the issue and what they were concerned with and what the address was. And he probably called me back in less than 10 minutes with one of the DTF people and said, "Can the grandparents get to that address right now?" And I said, "Why?" And he said, "They're waiting there on them. They have the children. The grandparents can come get them." And I said, "Are you serious?" And he said, "Yeah. Tell them to come get the grandkids. We've got everything under control." And I just hung up the phone. I looked over at him, and I said, "Go get your grandchildren." And I'll never forget that night.
The children had been in an unsafe situation.
Yeah. So that's, you know, that was a good thing. And those are the types of things that stick with you. You know, there's a lot of other things too, but
that's emotional.
Well, you do, because you know, anytime that the children are involved and in those types of situations, somebody very special stepped in. For them to come, and that's exactly what they said when they left here. Somebody sent them here tonight, and just in 30 minutes, they went from thinking they were going to lose their grandchildren to them calling and saying, "Come get your grandchildren." And everybody was good with it. So that's pretty special.
So all those years that you spent as a firefighter, does that help you see the problems of people differently, you think?
Absolutely. Without a doubt, John. 42 and a half years on that fire department, and people would ask me, you know, what's your education? And I always tell them I graduated from Muncie Central and I got my master's degree working on the Muncie Fire Department on the streets of Muncie, because you see the best of people and you see the worst of people all the time. And the most important thing that you have to learn to do, whether you're a back-end man or you're a driver, as I was for years, I drove the number 2 squad for years at 12th and Hackley, or a line captain in charge of the south side of Muncie, is you've got to stay just like that all the time. You can't get here and you can't get here. You got to stay just like that so you can do your job. And you learn how to do that. And you learn to keep your emotions in check so you can deal with those best of times and worst of times, that you can calm people when you need to calm them, give your men the best advice that you can give them to make sure you get them home safe every day, to their families. And it gives you a great understanding on what some people go through that other people may never, ever, ever understand. So it's pretty easy for me to know what it's like to walk into a house where you get there and it's full of feces. And it's horrible, horrible living conditions, and there's children in there. So you get that. You know, you don't get mad, you start making the right phone calls. So when somebody comes in here to talk to me about that, I get it, and I know that it's real, because it happens, and you never know where it's going to happen. It can happen in the poorest section of our community, or it can happen in the richest section of our community. You never know, but it is, yeah. The fire department really give me a lesson on how to be Dennis Tyler and help prepare me for where I'm at today.
Muncie Mayor Dennis Tyler talking about his 5 Minutes with the Mayor public availability on the second Tuesday of every month. Just ahead, something mayors don't always hear from, a happy customer.
Indiana Weekend, real radio from just down the road. Look for that name on Facebook and drop us a line. Let us know what you think at indianaweekend@gmail.com. Now here's John Strauss.
From the Arts Desk, a quick look at some of the theater and concert offerings from around our area. The Anderson Symphony Orchestra is offering its family Halloween concert November 1st at the Paramount Theater, including music from Frozen, Ghostbusters, Pirates of the Caribbean. Details at andersonsymphony.org. At the Muncie Civic Theater, now till November 1st, Carrie the Rock Musical. Yes, that Carrie, as in Stephen King. As Todd Sandman says, it's fairly dark, but definitely has some humor built in. Classic story of bullying, way ahead of its time when the book first came out. Details at MuncieCivic.org. Coming up November 1st at Sursa Hall, the Muncie Symphony Orchestra presents Time Machine, a journey through time starting at the Renaissance and ending in the 1900s. See more at MuncieSymphony.org. Anderson's Main Stage Theater has Jesus Christ Superstar, directed by Rick Vail, beginning November 6th. By the way, Main Stage is updating its sound equipment and could use your help. Check the theater schedule, along with donation details, at MainStageTheater.org. And Marion, meanwhile, look for the Civic Theater's production of A Christmas Story, based on the Gene Shepherd book, and opening December 5th. You know Gene Shepherd, right? About the kid who wanted a BB gun for Christmas? For extra points, what's the connection between Shepherd and Johnny Cash? True Shep fans will know what I'm talking about. And finally, if you're in Fountain City, north of Richmond, on Wednesday, October 29th at 1 p.m., you can see a bit of Indiana history. They are breaking ground on the $3.1 million Levi Coffin Interpretive Center. Funded with federal, state, local, and private dollars, the center will provide visitors with information about the importance of Indiana on the Underground Railroad. Located adjacent to the Levi Coffin Historical Site, a home through which over 1,000 slaves passed seeking freedom. So we've been talking about the mayor of Muncie and his 5 Minutes with the Mayor gatherings every month at City Hall. I'm fascinated by that because it seems that every public building you go to now has extra security with metal detectors, officials who sometimes seem very remote from the people. And here's this retired firefighter who sits down with citizens and actually listens to them. Afterward, it's not unusual for him to pick up the phone or send an email asking one of the city department heads for action. We'll talk with Terry Witt Bailey, the director of community development, about that. But first, one of the folks who came to visit the mayor the other night, Ruth Ann Stafford.
What was it like talking to the mayor?
It was really, really good. I had an issue with a neighbor, and code enforcement had come out and taken care of it, and I was going to cancel this appointment, but I thought, I'm going to go up there and thank him for this service. It's nice that Muncie has this service. And I had never met the mayor, so I thought I'd just come up here and thank him. And so I was very impressed with this.
What was he like?
Very friendly and very professional. And I don't know if I've said it, but I was nervous to even come up here. But he made me feel at ease, and it was easy talking to him.
You don't always know what you're going to get when you call local government for help, right?
Right.
What was your experience like?
It was really good. I called up here, and asked what I should do, told them I had a problem, and they suggested the building commissioner, the code enforcement, and for me to come up here this evening and talk to him. And I didn't know I had those options, so I jumped on all three of them.
Are you glad that you didn't cancel the appointment?
Yes, I am. I am. Because I know he hears a lot of bad things, and I just wanted to thank him for his service, and especially what the code enforcement and the building commissioner had done. They got right on it and came out and took care of the issue. So yeah, I'm glad I didn't cancel it.
Do you think, how do you think most people regard, you know, local government? Good, bad, like it, don't like it? Feel it's useful, accessible, not accessible?
I don't think a lot of people know about it, and I just don't think people care, you know, one way or the other, until there's an issue, and then, but I think for the most part, and I was one of them, I didn't ever think about coming to City Hall for a problem, but fortunately, I don't have a lot of problems. I just happened to have this with a new neighbor that moved in, so. And other neighbors, and they agreed and told me they would come up here with me if I felt that I needed someone, but I thought, well, I'll try it on my own, and I survived it. So, but yeah, I've been really impressed.
I am Dr. Terry Witt Bailey, and I am the Director of Community Development.
The mayor enjoys doing this.
Well, you know, the mayor's been doing 5 minutes with the mayor really since he took office, and it was his idea. He wanted some time to meet with people one-on-one, and sometimes that just doesn't happen if he's able to go out to public events. He can't really talk with everybody, and sometimes people want to talk with him privately. And so he created this on his own, 5 minutes with the mayor, where people can make an appointment or they can just show up second Tuesday of every month, and they come in, he shuts the door, and they can talk about anything they'd like to talk about. I know that there have been people that have come just to take a photo with the mayor. There have been people that have said, I've never been invited to the mayor's office, and they just come in and they're excited just to be here. There have been groups of individuals that have come with concerns or issues. There have been those who've just come to say thank you. And I think it's really good for the mayor to have an opportunity to interact with the community one-on-one.
And there's something in his personality that responds to this.
Well, you know, we have heard that people call him the people's mayor. And this is really indicative of that type of individual, and he really wants to know what the people are thinking. He wants to reach out to the individuals, and this gives him that opportunity to do that.
Is there follow-up among the members of the staff?
As soon as the mayor is finished with 5 minutes with the mayor, we may get a phone call on Tuesday night, or an email or a text message. Make sure you follow up with this person, or this person needs this letter, or put this on my calendar, or make sure that this proclamation is done. And so, yes, we do hear as department heads, we hear afterwards some things that he wants to make sure that he follows up with individuals, and we love it too. But this is his opportunity to interact with the people.
What do you think most people don't understand about how the city runs and how things actually work?
Well, I think we all had to learn that coming into office, knowing what it was like to run the city. And there are lots of steps when things need to be done. There's paperwork that needs to be filled out. And when you call the mayor's office doesn't always have all of the answers, but we do know where to send people when they do have questions. So you may be calling about a pothole. Well, the mayor's office doesn't take care of the potholes, the street department does. Or you may be calling about a house that's not habitable, so that my office, community development, would take care of that. Or if there's any human rights issue, there are different offices. So if you call the mayor's office, we can send you to the right place. But that may be one thing that people may not be aware of, is that, you know, the mayor's office doesn't answer all of the questions. They're able to route you to the place where the questions can be answered.
Dr. Terry Witt Bailey, Director of Community Development for the City of Muncie, and before her, Ruth Ann Stafford, one of the regular folks who visited with Dennis Tyler the other day for his 5 minutes with the mayor availabilities. Well, that's our show for today. More than 5 minutes. I'm John Strauss. Big thanks to our producer, Sean Ashcraft. Glad you could join us this time and hope you'll stay in touch. Drop me a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com if you would like more information or have a suggestion. In the meantime, thanks and have a great week. Until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio.
And I never will forget it. I got on the cell phone and I reached out to one of my officers that was off duty, was at a ball game, watching his children, and he stepped outside to take my phone call. And I give him the names, and I give him the issue, and what they were concerned with, and what the address was. And he probably called me back in less than 10 minutes with one of the DTF people and said, "Can the grandparents get to that address right now?" And I said, "Why?" And he said, "They're waiting there on them. They have the children. The grandparents can come get them." And I said, "Are you serious?" And he said, "Yeah. Tell them to come get the grandkids. We've got everything under control." And I just hung up the phone. I looked over at him and I said, "Go get your grandchildren." And I'll never forget that night.
The children had been in an unsafe situation.
Yeah. So that's, you know, that was a good thing. And those are the types of things that stick with you. You know, there's a lot of other things too, but
that's emotional.
Well, you do, because you know, anytime the children are involved.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Sean Ashcraft. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from Dillman's Furniture of Muncie, serving East Central Indiana with home furnishings from FlexSteel, Bassett, and Simmons Beautyrest. Join us again next week for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.
Talking with Lori Georgie, who is with Indiana Public Radio and head of membership and community outreach. So what you do is you help people who decide that they want to go from being listeners to members.
If you support Indiana Public Radio, you become a member. Our basic membership is $40, but any amount can help. Please give, and we thank all of you who have supported us in the past year, and we're coming to the end of the calendar year, which is a giving season, and we hope that you'll give to us.
When you talk with people, have you ever had one of those conversations with somebody where they said, "You know, the light went on and I decided I really needed to do this to support the radio I like"?
Yeah, you're part of Indiana Public Radio. It's you that support the programming that you love. And when you do give, you feel like you own that programming and you are proud that you gave to Indiana Public Radio. And like I said, if you'd like to give, we really need your help at any amount that is good for you.
IndianaPublicRadio.org, 1-800-646-1812. Thanks very much for whatever you can do, my friends.